Summertime and the living is easy. I don't know about you, but it is time to kick back, put your feet up, get a cool drink, sit by a swimming pool, and enjoy the summertime. I hope we play this in the summertime because I'm recording it in the summertime.
It's probably going to be like December when it comes out. February.
Then go to a hotel and find an indoor pool. But I'm Father Joseph, and you've joined us on Restless along with Joe and Lauren. Joe and Diane.
Oh, insulted.
No, but Lauren's cool.
Insulted.
This is going off the rails very quickly. And today we are restlessly seeking the face of leisure because it's time to just kind of talk about the face of Christ, I guess.
Does leisure have a face? It'll be my face.
Yes. You are the face, of leisure.
You are, Joe.
Good.
Because I think, you know, in our world, we certainly have a lot of time off, disposable time, but is it leisure? Is it recreation? What does that mean? And did Jesus ever recreate and take leisure time? Because I think it's probably important to what it means to be a holy, healthy person. So let's talk about that. What makes leisure different than laziness?
I mean, to me, laziness is, ignoring your obligations, right? Or spending too much time doing nothing, or even too much time doing something that's, doing something, but something that's leisurely or that's not, super important, like an unwillingness to be motivated to do things which you were required to do, or which you, promised to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think leisure is more like the appropriate relaxation as opposed to like pointless. And I would say that there's a purpose to leisure of, probably furthering or deepening your interior life and just getting you maybe back on track or energized to pursue God in sort of whatever state of life you're in.
Yeah. That's why I like how it's called recreation, because it's literally a recreation.
Ah.
Kind of created anew.
I never thought about that.
That's why they
makes
call
sense.
It. Yeah, recreation. So what kind of leisure and recreation do you enjoy? Like what renews you?
Oh, me?
Joe, you're the face of
leisure. I'm the face
of leisure. You're the face of leisure.
Yes,
you should know that.
Face of leisure. What do I do for leisure? Yeah, I mean, I do martial arts. I spend a lot of time hanging out with friends. I recently started playing volleyball with them.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not very good at volleyball, but if I'm good at anything, it's trash talk. And so I appear better than I really am based on the way I talk. Cornhole, frisbee. I'm big on that sort of thing.
That's true. I do remember some intense can jam games in your backyard.
Yeah.
When you were younger.
Yeah. No, we take it pretty seriously.
You did.
Semi-professional, I would say. In our own minds, at least.
You have to understand, Joe's backyard is about 6 feet wide.
It's actually been expanded since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They take down the
we
hill?
Push it back, yeah.
The mountain?
Yeah, we pushed it back a little bit.
Okay. So now it's 12 feet wide.
Yeah, you can have a can jam, marathon.
Have a can jam. We're big into cornhole.
Oh, there you go.
In a cornhole.
So I'm glad you call it cornhole, because okay. when I brought that up to your pastor, Father Corey, he's like, "What the heck is cornhole?
What does he call it?
Beanbag toss."
He also said we couldn't call the kickoff event for our summer youth group situation a barbecue because we were having hamburgers and hot dogs, and that's a cookout. And we were like, oh, yes, Father. I love Father.
If there's no barbecue sauce, it's not barbecue.
No, I love that man. So I'm not going to question it.
That's funny. Cornhole's relaxing. Yeah, cornhole's pretty relaxing.
It can be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Definitely. That's cool.
That's fun.
You played a volleyball game before coming here today, right?
Yes, I did. At a company picnic.
Was that relaxing or were you trash talking?
I was trying to control my trash talking, not just because I was at work.
You're playing against your boss.
Well, but also because somebody brought their like 6-year-old daughter. So we had to kind of be like, all right, good serve. Yeah, you maybe get it over the net sometime. Yeah. So there was a lot of that.
No.
And then us actually trying to play around her as best we could.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, that's rough.
can't trash talk a 6-year-old.
You can, but just be heartless and cruel.
Oh, man.
What's your leisure?
I mean, for most people, this wouldn't be leisure, but running. I love to run. So I work from home now. Thank you, COVID. And yeah, I'm able to take a break every day, and at least 5 days out of the week, I go for a run outside. No, I don't belong to the gym anymore. It's so nice to be in nature. It's just feels so good to get up because I'm sitting most of the day. Yeah, I don't take my phone with me. I don't listen to music. I just like normally pray, zone out, look at nature, enjoy it. I mean, I'm out there all four seasons, so even if it's snowing.
Nice. And there's a beautiful park in Diane's neighborhood called Todd's Point.
Yeah.
You go there.
Yeah, it's
right on the water.
Yep. There's like a 2.5 mile running loop. So I'll do like two kind of, you know, switch it up directions. So it's like 5 miles and very nice views.
Nice.
Yeah. So I do that. And it's really nice to disconnect, honestly, because I don't bring my phone, which can be dangerous. So my parents have had to rescue me at least like 3 times this past year in horrible thunderstorms.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I have an apt ability to choose the best times to go out for a run. But yeah, it's just great to like put things down, not have any noise. Yeah, it's a great like 45 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then, I also do like, I like to bake. I like photography.
You so like to bake?
I do.
I've never tasted the fruits of your labor.
Yes. I actually made cupcakes
for... That was a veiled request. Maybe not so veiled.
Barely veiled, yeah.
All right. Next podcast, guys.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. I really like to bake. I like trying new recipes. I'm like, you know, it's just very, it's fun to try new things. So
that's
I'm
awesome.
Definitely adventurous in that sense. And then photography too. So I bought a camera. I go to the beach a lot. I'm obsessed with sunsets, flowers. And then I recently started like taking photos of people and their babies. So
like,
cute
professionally and with consent, or like,
yeah,
behind
like,
a bush,
like a
or
creepy thing.
Or from behind a park bench,
creepily
yeah.
without their permission.
Good, good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That was leisurely. Is the run back to your car part of the workout?
It is. That's how I do both at once.
That's beautiful. Right.
It'll be faster if you didn't run 5 miles after taking a picture of your in your car.
You can outrun any of the cops.
Yeah, exactly. I've been working on my sprinting because,
yeah, obviously, yeah, yeah.
Not just long distance,
leaping fences and whatnot.
Good. See, I really kind of thought you were like putting out a personal ads here. Like, I enjoy sunsets and flowers and long walks on the beach and taking creepy pictures of babies.
No.
You're going to find a really weird guy for that.
What would the dating app be for that? Email in to follow Joseph and to tell us.
I'm pretty much the only one who sees these photos. So, that's except cool. for that, you know, like I just took photos of my little 11-month-old niece for her first birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very cute.
Nice, but wait, if she's only 11 months old.
I know they did it a month early, so it's kind of cheating.
That's totally cheating.
what are your leisurely activities, Father?
Definitely hiking.
Yeah.
That's a big one, as I've hiked with Joe many a time, and with Diane.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call hikes I've done with you leisurely.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're more like death marches, but
they're purgative, I would argue, at least for myself.
Yeah, one time you recommended a hike, and it was super hard.
I was also almost killed me at least 3 times on hikes.
So yeah, if you're not prepared, if you're not prepared, don't ask Father Joseph for advice.
No, I'm a little nervous. I'm going hiking with some guys this summer, and one of them says to me, "So, you know, will I be able to plug in my air mattress?"
Oh no!
Like, you realize we're backpacking, we're gonna be 8 miles from the nearest plug, and we're doing Mount Washington in New York.
Poor guy.
I don't know if he knows what he's getting himself into.
He doesn't.
Well,
so at some point
it'll be too far in to turn around.
Yeah, we're gonna do a couple of practice hikes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, Breakneck Ridge and in the Hudson Valley. And
see, our last episode was about hope, and I would argue, and I have argued, the Father is arguably too hopeful about his salvation when we go hiking, because he doesn't seem to value very much surviving the hike. I always tell my Father, I need more time on this earth. You know, like I'm not done yet. You know, but anyway.
Yeah,
hiking should involve all four limbs. That's my belief.
All four limbs?
Yeah, two hands, two feet.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent.
Well, other than hiking, though, Father?
Other than hiking, I actually really enjoy reading. I'm working on...
Oh, me too. I can't believe I didn't say that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm working on the book Silence. There's a famous movie that was made about it. Mm-hmm. It's about a fictional novel about persecutions in Japan in the 1500s. Really good book.
Awesome. Yeah, I always have my head in a book, multiple books, so... It's great.
Yeah, I read a lot. Of course, I play guitar.
Mm.
It's relaxing.
Yes, you do. You sing?
Yeah, yeah. That's leisure.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced by that.
That's relaxing, yeah. So how much leisure, then, is healthy to enjoy? Like, should you do it every day, every couple of days, once a week, once a month? I mean, what's your leisure
schedule? I guess, God in terms of the creation, right? Rest on the seventh day, so I would say at least once a week. And we're kind of the third commandment, you know, remember to keep the Lord's Day holy. So for sure, at least one day, which people, I don't think that's a whole nother story. I don't think people really adhere to that in terms of, you know, actually taking proper rest on the Lord's Day. I admit that I'm not the greatest always at, you know, making time for leisure, especially in busy season when, you know, I'm ridiculous hours.
14-hour days.
Yeah. But I do, I mean, I guess I still do make time for Mass and I make time for to run or to exercise because I think that's really important.
But do you find prayer to be leisurely?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah, when I'm stressed out.
That's great.
Sure,
I don't.
It's like, oh, okay.
I don't.
Yeah. But sometimes, like during busy season, it's like, oh my gosh, do I really have time to go to Mass? And that's a bad, you know, like that's a bad state of mind to have.
Mm.
But I find that when I'm stressed out, I'm like, God, I need you. You know, so it is actually like a reprieve from.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a shift from, just shift from.
It's a total shift, which I think it might be different for you because you're a priest, right? So I'm like in the secular world, I'm like, people stop telling me that this is like needs to be done yesterday. Yeah, so it's nice to kind of take a break. Whereas I think maybe you have more time in your day for prayer, so it becomes more laborious. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think I do see prayer as an integral part of my job in a sense. Like, it's a vocation, of course, but like, you know, praying for the people of God. So I want to make sure that's quality prayer. I want to make sure that I'm, you know, mentally present, which can be a mental workout. You know, you don't want your mind to wander. And for me, that's one of the things that I love about leisure is that your mind can wander wherever it goes. And
you're also bound to forms of prayer in the way that we are not. I mean, we have to Mass on Sunday. You don't have to celebrate Mass on your day off, although I know you do, but you're bound to celebrate the prelude of the hours, you know?
Yeah.
You're not bound to do a holy hour, but it's a pretty strong.
But I do every day.
It's also a pretty strong, like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's pretty strong and highly recommended practice among young priests and seminarians. Very widely adhered to, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to make it sound like I just love praying all the time. Like, that is not the case. There are some days where it's just brushing your teeth, just like running, right? Like, there are some days when I'm like, before I start my run, I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is the last thing I want to do. But you just, like, make yourself do it, so.
And sometimes a prayer more leisurely than others.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's very, very true.
Yeah.
Anything rote or scripted is much more leisurely to me than having to actually, like, sort of figure it out on my own, right? Like, a rosary is just more leisurely because, you know, you can kind of just follow the beads and, you know.
Really?
I think so.
Meditate, yeah.
It's funny. I find the opposite.
You're probably a lot better at than I am, which is why.
Well, I find, like, a lot of times, I guess, I combine my prayer with leisure. Like, hiking is, for me, such a spiritual experience. And
Yeah.
I do a lot of dog walks and rosaries.
Uh-huh.
So, leisurely to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Good exercise. You got a new dog, right? It's not Gracie?
No,
it's
still Gracie. Gracie. Oh, yeah, Gracie. Still kicking, biting anyone she can.
Gracie's about, you know, 6 inches tall. And
she's a bad dog.
Is she?
Very bad dog.
She's one of those,
very bad dog.
What kind of dog?
She's half Brussels Griffon, half poodle.
Okay.
She seems to think she's like a Rottweiler, German Shepherd or something, though.
I've never seen a dog jump higher.
Oh, she's...
She can jump like 6 feet off the ground.
She's tall. She's got long legs for a small body.
Yeah.
Okay. Big attitude.
Big attitude. Yeah. She rules the house.
Mm-hmm.
So what is kind of the impact on leisure on your spiritual life? Like, do you feel like spiritually disconnected from God when you don't have leisure or maybe too much leisure, like after a vacation, you feel disconnected or?
Yeah. I mean, if I don't have enough leisure, like I'm just thinking of those times during busy season when I don't, you know, prayer is rushed or I skip over things. I feel like I am completely stressed out and there's no outlet. So whether or not you necessarily recognize in the moment that like, oh, have I been faithful to prayer and to, you know, like my lifeline, which is prayer and God? Absolutely, I feel more stressed out.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my like leisure time is spent with friends, you know, because I don't really have time to see people during the week usually. So like, typically Friday and Saturdays, I spend, you know, after work, it's Friday, then most of the, pretty much all the day Saturday, hanging out with friends and stuff. And so like, to me, that's leisurely. But when I'm done, I'm always just filled with a profound sense of gratitude for that. Awesome. Just gratitude that God's put so many good people in my life who actually want to hang out with me and, you know, do things together and have fun, you know. So, like, that is, to me, spiritually energizing because, I mean, I've been in points in my life where I kind of didn't think that I would have deep friendships like that, where I would kind of be, like, you know, the go-to group every weekend doing things together and having a good time. And the fact that I have that is just, I'm just so grateful to God for it, you know. So that's one way in which leisure certainly energizes my spiritual life.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
You know, when I go on vacation, it's hard to keep up the life of prayer. And that's for me always kind of a challenge. It's interesting. Next week I'm going to Catholic Family Land. I can't say that out loud. Catholic Family Land. Corniest name ever, but a great, really great place. And so that's going to be a week of vacation. And I'm actually kind of excited for it because it's a new place to pray. It's a new, you know, way to pray with really fervent Catholics. And so that'll be leisure plus a spiritual renewal. And Joe's, you know, face palming right now. You got to go, man. You got to try Catholic Family Land.
I guess so.
You'll love it. You'll love it.
I just got to rebrand the name.
They do. Yeah.
But you're right. It's sometimes it's nice to mix it up, like change of scenery.
Totally.
I do find, though, that like, and maybe this is a bad thing, that I'm like constantly like, I guess I like to have like a sense of mission. And sometimes I don't have that when I have too much leisure time, like even a week of vacation. I'm like, it depends whether it's like self-focused or like if I'm giving of myself. So like, I think On My Heart lately is just like ways to give of myself where I feel that I am in some way doing God's will, you know, like whatever that is.
Yeah.
When it's self-focused and it's like, you know, I'm just living for myself and like, you know, hanging out with my, which I think it's, there's a balance, right? Of, you know, hanging out with your friends and stuff, but like it can become too much and too self-focused to the point where you, or at least I, lose my sense of mission. And then I get upset about that.
Yeah. Now, you know, something I noticed in all of our ways in which we talk about leisure, none of us mentioned anything technological.
Yeah.
You know,
technological is stressful.
Right. I mean, I'm wondering, can there be leisure with technology? Like, is playing video games or surfing the internet?
I should have left that out because I actually do play video games for leisure with friends.
Do you?
Yeah. Actually, that's probably the leisure that I have the most time for during the week other than martial arts would be that, because I can get like an hour in or whatever.
What's your game of choice?
I'm a little embarrassed to say.
I am going
to
laugh, but I told you Catholic Family.
Yeah.
Are you Dungeons & Dragons?
No, I'm actually kind of a big fan of Minecraft, believe it or not, for someone of my age, but it's a lot of fun. I've been playing it since before it was cool, since before there were colored wood blocks. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's not leisurely insofar as we tend to play against each other and I get very worked up and, you know, animated right before bed and stuff like that. But on the flip side, it is fun just to like not have to think so much and just sort of blow off steam at the end of the day. So it can be leisurely.
Yeah.
I tend not to like, I don't watch a lot of TV and movies, not because I don't want to, but because like given the choice between watching TV or spending time with friends outside, I would choose friends in a heartbeat. Right. So that's, it's not that I wouldn't do the leisurely things that were technologically related. It's just that I would choose real people over them.
Well, I think you make an important point that one of the aspects of leisure is to reconnect with others. You know, whether it is technology. I mean, I think if you're just scrolling through Facebook, that's not leisure. That's just wasting your time.
It's wasting your time, and especially social media. It breeds so much anxiety, comparison. You end up leaving feeling worse than when you went on. You know, and you're seeking sort of like, you're basically trying to fill a hole that you should be filling with God, and you're filling with all these stupid, senseless things. I mean, the only TV I watch is the Mets, which
the Mets.
Yeah. Praise God. They'll win the World Series this year. But, you know,
I'm not praying for that.
I'm asking our viewers too.
We have viewers.
Yeah, I thought we were all listeners. Oh, listeners.
Who's watching this podcast? You need to get a life. Stop watching the radio.
But there's so much crap on TV, you know, TV, movies, and just garbage filling or polluting minds, actually. So I think you have to be super careful about what you watch and like the amount of time that you spend doing that, too.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to play video games and to, I guess, watch a good TV show that's not going to kill your soul, but you need to.
My parents love the Hallmark Channel.
Mm. Okay.
They're big Hallmark movie fans, which my dad loves because there's literally no thinking involved. It's the same plot for every movie.
Yeah,
it's
the same outcome.
That's a problem I have because like there's a lot of shows that I want to watch, but by the time I get home at the end of the day, if I have time to watch TV, I don't want to have to pay attention or think about plot. So I'll just put on like The Office or Seinfeld or something that I don't have to pay attention to because I've seen it a million times before and just zone it out. You know what I mean? But there are good things on TV to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine as long as you're not like marathoning, you know? It gets to the point of like, you know, we're all familiar with the term Netflix binging, you know? So.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of like TV and leisure, so there's a philosopher named Joseph Pieper who wrote a very famous book called Leisure is the Basis of Culture. And he makes the point that you know, when if a culture is just basically, you know, especially like the agrarian cultures back in the day when you had to work from sunup to sundown, and you can't, you don't have time to make culture. You don't have time to do arts or, you know, anything that's civilized, really. It's just, you know, your survival. But he says once you're able to shrink your time of work and actually have leisure time, that's where culture comes out from. And so, you know, do you agree with his conclusion that leisure and culture are intimately united?
I mean, I think so, because part of the dignity of being a human being is God has given us the ability to create. So we create through sort of, you know, creative things like photography, painting, all
Minecraft.
Exactly.
It's a very permanent structure you create.
I don't know, gardening, you know, and that those things are beautiful, and they do help to build up culture, as opposed to just sitting in front of the TV or playing video games, where you're just like consuming, you know?
But then one could say one is enjoying culture, right? Because, I mean, the TV is really just another form of the opera. Maybe a little lowbrow version.
Well, it's not as if every opera was highbrow, right? I mean, there was pop, trashy pop culture at every point in human history.
That's very true. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the plays were not, you know, not every person was Shakespeare. Not every play.
I mean, I even think about it in terms of things. I mean, things like cathedrals. I mean, a society that is just so like wrapped up in work doesn't build a cathedral. It would be almost insane to suggest it if you have to literally spend every moment of your day working to survive. And of course, like culture, cult, religion, right? They're sort of tied up concepts to some extent.
Very much so, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's important to have leisure time because that's how you build real relationships, and cultures come out of those relationships, and small cultures among small groups come out of those relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you have a great point that leisure leads to relationships with God, with yourself, with others, and just that reaching out.
I mean, even think about in your own life. I mean, like a priest has to be busy, but a priest who's so busy, that's constantly flying from obligation to obligation, and they never has time just to like actually hang out with his parishioners and like not celebrating mass, not running like a fish fryer, but like just like talking to them and hanging out with them. He might be energizing them spiritually in some ways, but he's not going to develop the relationships that will lead them to trust him to actually make him more effective spiritual father.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I've always kind of grappled with that as a priest, because you see the example of people like St. John Vianney, who spent 15 hours a day in the confessional, and he didn't appear to have friends.
Right.
You know, maybe he did. I don't know. But, you know, certainly from the biographies I read, he was almost just superhuman, that he never relaxed. And I always feel like, oh man, like if I need to take a day off, is that okay? You know? And there's a contemporary Catholic writer named Kevin Wells, who is, you know, a great Catholic writer, but he wrote a book called The Priests We Need to Save the Church. And it was basically like, you know, priests can never take a day off, and they have to be 24/7 available to their parishioners. And you know, as I was kind of reading the book and seeing, like, ooh, I'm not living up to his standard, but is that the right standard?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's...
No. It's just not. That's just ridiculous. Sorry. Go ahead, Diane. That's just stupid.
You're just going to lay it right out there.
Stupid.
But I think one of my favorite Dominicans that I listen to, Father Gregory Pine, he's on YouTube and he has a podcast. But, you know, he talks a lot about how, like, you know, God has created us all. Like, he goes back to this constantly of, like, God has created all of us differently, like with a specific and unique mission. So he gives to some, like, you know, those sort of gifts that you're talking about of John Vianney for his time and for his, like, you know, his life and the time that he lived in. But that's not necessarily like, or it's not what God has for you or for other people. And so, like, we image him in a way that no one else can and no one else will. So it's kind of just like praying about that of like, God, how do you desire for me to glorify you in this way that is unique and that, you know, no one else is going to be able to do? It's like, yeah. It's super powerful and also encouraging to know that, like, I have a mission that's totally different from everyone else. And yeah, if we were all the same, I mean.
That's a great point. And I like how the church is starting to acknowledge some saints, some more recent saints who seem to live a more balanced life than some of the old saints. Like, I think of St. Blessed Carlo Acutis, who is our patron, who loved playing video games. Yeah. And soccer. I mean, right. Like, that's a pretty balanced kid right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking about the idea that priests should never have a day off. I mean, that's just crazy. Like, I mean, because for one thing, what you think is time off isn't time away from saving souls. Like, I don't know what timeline we're in. So either a previous episode or a future episode, you and I talked about our respective vocation conversion stories. And like mine is tied up in our relationship and our friendship. And had it been that you were always constantly working, and so it was always either I saw you in a Bible study or a catechism class or something like that, that would have been great. But like where I really grew was time hiking with you and other people or at youth group when you were not.
Because remember, you're hanging off a cliff when you're hiking with me.
Right, yeah. I had so to literally grow to reach the next rock.
You are praying to God right now.
No, but like, that's right. But like in a serious way though, like those moments of leisure, or like we come over to my house playing video games or playing pool, or like, you know, because that made me trust you, right? Because I saw you as a real person, a person with whom I could have an actual relationship and not an object or like an official of some kind, right? You know, and, but also, you know, really, I could say, like, hey, Father, I was just thinking about this. Why do we do this? Or how does this work? Like, those, so that was that time off for you? I mean, I'm sure you weren't clocked in for it, right? I'm sure you wouldn't think of this as, oh, this is me working. But, like, that doesn't mean you were away from the job of saving souls. And it just seems crazy to me to say that a priest has to always be in the confessional or always be celebrating Mass or always be running from this appointment to that appointment. It's like, no, priests are human beings who need to be able to rest. But also, like, they're still saving, it's a vocation, not a job. They're saving souls no matter what they're doing, if they're doing it right.
Right. So, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I mean, same goes for family life too, right? Like, that's why it's super important, I think, on Sundays especially, and hopefully every day, at least at night, for parents who are in our culture, especially in the Northeast, you know, where we're obsessed with work and working so many hours, to take time for your family. Because parents, I mean, the house, the family is the domestic church, so to be sort of forming them in the faith.
So I've often wondered that, and this is part of why I've always kind of wondered about leisure as a priest, is because when you're a mom or dad, you don't get a day off, right? You're mom or dad for 18 years. I mean, like there's no like, all right, Saturday, I'm taking off.
Yeah. But I mean, when you take a day off as a priest, you're still a priest, so.
Yeah, you still say Mass and still.
Well, I mean, like, do parents get to like clock out of their shift as parent? No, but are they working, quote unquote, as a parent in the same way when they are playing board games with their kid as when they are like disciplining them or to help them
that's
do homework.
True. That's true.
So it's like the thing of the stereotype of the sort of workaholic absentee dad, you know, and it's like, well, okay, you provided for your family. That's important. That's good. Maybe you had to do it in that way. But like, did you get to know your kids? Do they love you? Do they trust you? Do they know they could come to you? Could they come to you? Like, do you know them? Could you recognize that things are going wrong in life because you know what it looks like when they're going right in their life? So like, proximity and time are important, and that just can't be work. It has to be leisure.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I hear a lot of divorced families, especially the dads who don't have custody, often talking about, you know, quality time. You know, when my kid comes over for the one weekend a month, I've got to make sure we spend every last second. But really, it's quantity.
Yeah,
the quantity of just leisure time, because that's when those unscripted conversations happen, and the real life just, you know, happens. So, last question then: Jesus, did Jesus take time, you know, did he, and how did he recreate and do leisure? Because I think his example would be the best.
Well, I think Father Joseph, you and I were talking about this at the beginning or before the podcast, but Wedding of Cana was the first thing that came to my mind. You know, like he made time to go to these parties. And
those parties were 7 days long.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he also seemed to spend a lot of time eating with friends, reclining and eating with friends, right? I mean, and I'm sure a lot of that was catechetical, and you know, but I mean, probably not all of it, because again, you follow people whom you trust and who you have relationships with. So I mean, so like John was his friend, right? I mean, Peter was his friend.
How great would that be just to sit and have like dinner with Jesus? Like, I wish there was a recording.
Well, I mean, John's head was literally on Jesus's chest at the Last Supper. I mean, I've had a lot of professors who I've liked. I've never done that. I mean, like that's a very intimate, close friendship. And that doesn't come from only ever working, right?
That's why it's always been my belief that John the Apostle was like 12 or 13.
When oh, really?
Jesus. That's my belief, because I think it's just too weird if it's like a 25-year-old leaning on Jesus' chest.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's always been my belief. Plus, he lived to, you know, a ripe old age.
Yeah.
And he was very innocent.
He was, how old you lived probably isn't determined by how young you used to be. Right, I'm sure that follows exactly, but
he outlived all of the other apostles.
Chronologically, he lived a long time. Sure,
he did. Yeah, around one.
No, but I mean, Jesus. I think I would say Jesus definitely did things that weren't just his public ministry. Right. I mean, the wedding feast wasn't his, but the wedding feast wasn't his public ministry. But he still performed miracles at it.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean that's why I love when Jesus would go off into the mountains, alone to pray, because he needs that alone time too. And I think we gloss over that sometimes, that you know, here's this person who's pouring his life out in service, but he needs to be refilled by a connection with his father.
I mean, his apostles did fish in his presence, as I remember, didn't they? I mean, I'm trying to think now.
Oh yeah, it was one time Jesus falling asleep in the boat.
Right. So I mean, there's no reason he had to have them fish. I mean, he's God, right? I mean, he could have found a way that was still something they did for whatever reason, probably just to support themselves, but also because it was a thing, you know, to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you might as well, I guess. I don't know. Well, I hope you've had a relaxing last half hour. but thank you for listening to Restless as part of your leisure today. And make sure to go and do some leisure, to do it right, you know, to make sure that we do have those relationships that we reconnect with, to make sure that we live a balanced life, not being lazy or wasting time on things like that are just sap our soul, but really that recreate us, because that's what recreation is all about, building relationships and building our culture. You can find us on Veritas Catholic Network, 1350 AM, and wherever you get your podcasts. Tune in next time.